What's your favourite map that you remember from the first Counter-Strike?
It'd be the original DDoS 2.
What's that?
It's kind of like a desert-style map terrain with various buildings and scaffolds kind of throughout it all.
This is Matthew Plewis.
And I'm an honours student at the University of Newcastle.
Matthew did his thesis on the performance indicators of esport athletes. And what does this mean? Well, it has to do with video games. And in this case, he was using the game Counter-Strike as a case study.
Each team has 5 players. Normally it's subdivided into 2 teams, terrorists and counter-terrorists.
I have eyes on the enemy.
The terrorists will have a bomb and they'll need to try and plant it at 2 sites, A or B.
Bomb has been planted.
Whereas the role of the counter-terrorists is try not to let them actually plant the bomb, and if they do, defuse it within the time.
Let's get this done.
What do you think makes a good Counter-Strike player?
I think they really need to have very good game sense to anticipate where they can be. If you look at it simply, it's just get good at coordinating it, really, but some of the most professional players have got, like, thousands of hours within, like, Counter-Strike, for example. I think it's just doing it again and again, the way that you need to move about and manipulate the keys and mouse together kind of is the result of just practice, really.
And for some, practice makes perfect. Enter the world of professional video gaming.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the 7th IESF World Championship here in Seoul, South Korea. My name is Rapid. Joining me.
All right, so let me paint a picture for you. Say you're watching the Australian Open. Things are tense, the crowd's into it, the commentary team are going off. Well, in esports, also known as professional video gaming, it's pretty much the same.
Think about this jungle situation. Phoenix is going to walk right into that stun. So much damage there. We could see terrorists try to get in there. Blocks the body slam and forces out a flash. Great positioning. And even a flash there from Apple. Being
so what you're listening to now is a preliminary match in the IESF 7th World Championship. IESF is the International Esports Federation. Pretty much the big leagues of pro video gaming. The competitors are playing a game called League of Legends, which is where you fight as a champion with a team and go around and secure towers and zones so that your team wins. And seeing as this is only a preliminary match, you might be like, oh well, what's the point? Why don't they just play this at home? Well, these pro gamers are in it for a reason.
So the whole prize pool itself was 18 million? Where first place took home $6 million between 5.
That's right. $18 million. This was the prize pool at a tournament last year in South Korea for Dota players. Dota is a game similar to League of Legends.
Oh my God.
Where's all this money coming from?
It's just all the sponsors and major brands like Red Bull, even traditional sports, even football clubs now even.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy how much the prize pool is growing. Like, in 2014, the total prize pool for the whole year was 35 mil.
This prize pool was across a number of different games in the South Korean tournament.
Last year in 2015, that was up to 72 mil. And then this year for 2016, it's already exceeded over 100 million. The biggest one was the Dota 2 tournament over in Korea, where it filled a stadium, their largest stadium, with 150,000 people. It's unbelievable.
And it's kind of just like a sports game. Like, they're all watching a game of Dota.
Yeah. So it just keeps growing.
Video games.
Sounds like a pretty sweet deal to me, playing video games full-time and earning some decent money out of it. But if you watch these players, it's fascinating. Their focus, their quickness in game. I don't think in any way would I be able to keep up with them. So what is it that makes these pro video gamers so good?
We don't know exactly what they are learning, but we know what they are very good at. And what we can see is that they have exceptional fine motor control. If you would compare them to a reference population...
This is Yob Franson, a lecturer in sport and exercise science at the University of Technology, Sydney. He was working with Matthew on his honours research.
We are very good at, or relatively fast at, reacting to one single stimulus. You know, if the light goes green, I can push the accelerator in my car really quickly. But if there's a green light and an orange light and a red light and a blue light and an arrow here, and there's a police officer over there trying to organize traffic, then we become perplexed. You know, we no longer know what to do, but they are very good at discerning which stimulus is relevant and which of the responses is most appropriate.
So Counter-Strike is essentially a first-person shooter. So you've got the person positioned, so you see their arms and they're holding the gun. Run me through when you're watching this.
So when I watch experts play it, the thing that surprises me most is the stability within their behavior. So they are so consistent and meticulous. For example, they are able to predict where enemies are going to appear on screen before they've even appeared. They have huge domain-specific knowledge of the maps in which they run around, the virtual worlds. And they already know this is where an enemy is going to appear. This is where an enemy is likely to appear. If they're not here, then they might be there. When you look at the mouse cursor, for example, for an expert player, it is very stable, centered in the middle of the screen, and it only moves and moves really quickly and really accurately when they're trying to aim at something else, and then it comes back to the center of the screen. And it's really impressive to watch those players play.
Do you think that they're getting so good at it just because they're doing it so much?
It's the chick or the egg question. We've always been asking ourselves, are they so good within those particular characteristics because they do it a lot, or were they pre-selected because they have this innate ability? And that's what we're trying to figure out now. Have they been training this particular characteristic or this particular property very often and repetitively?
How are you monitoring what they're doing?
They come into our university building. We set them up in a separate room. They have a big screen in front of them. We run them through our testing protocol. And part of that testing protocol is that they play two bouts of 15 minutes within their game. And we put some eye tracking gear on them and look where are they looking while they are playing. This is something very interesting that we're looking at the moment.
Right. Do you think that's why they call it esports? Because it like very closely resembles how a sporting player might get good at a certain activity, and then now with this whole arena of people going to play professionally. Do you think that's why it's called esports?
I think the reason why they call it esports is because they see the parallel with other sports. If you take archery, for example, everyone would agree that archery is a sport, although the physical activity component is very limited. You can be an obese individual and be an archer. You can be an obese individual and be a gamer. Obesity has no influence in your gaming performance. I do a lot of research on how gross motor coordination affects your ability to play a particular sport.
So what is that, the gross motor skills? Like what?
So your gross motor skills are basically when you use large musculature or large sets of muscles. So for example, if I would do a push-up, that would be an example of something that requires gross motor skills. If I would be knitting a sweater, that would be using fine musculature, okay, or it would be a fine motor skill. And I saw the biggest example of the fact that it has no influence on esports the other day while I was watching a competition, and the candidates were introducing themselves and they made some sort of move, you know, when their name was being called, and you could see that they were moving so awkwardly. Like there was absolutely, if they would have been assessed on their gross motor skill competence, it would probably be relatively poor if we would compare it with the normative population. But I knew from our research that their fine motor control and their fine motor skills were exceptional.
What is the point of the research? Is it to relay it back to physical activity?
If we understand within a very closed discipline like esports how expertise and excellence emerges over time, we can transfer that across to other disciplines where we can say we have to train someone to use a very particular type of computer that needs fine motor control to make a particular incision here or there. And the same goes for if we're talking about pilots that need to combine gross and fine motor skills while they're flying a plane, we might be able to transfer some of the knowledge that we get from esports across to there.
I like it. It's kind of like the brains is coming back in, like the brains versus brawn.
Revenge of the nerds. That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.